The Good Liars.
The Good Liars.
This is boring.
Boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the Good Liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us. Welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeVrom Stiefler, and we are the Good Liars.
And we may be the Good Liars, but on this show, we are going to tell the truth. And today, we're going to be talking about the latest news from the 2024 election. We got a debate coming up, as well as a solo Trump rally trip by DeVrom to Western Pennsylvania. I couldn't make it because of the surprise guest at the DNC. It was not Beyonce. It was COVID-19. And
that's
I was
true.
Able to bring that back home. It's always nice to be able to bring something home with you.
Bring something home.
Yeah,
truly
yeah.
A gift from the convention.
Truly a gift.
Along with the swag, the mugs, the shirts,
so
and
much
the
swag.
Hats. You brought back COVID-19.
COVID-19. I'm better now. I'm better now. I want to say that. I'm better. I'm testing negative.
Really?
I feel great.
You look gaunt.
I look gaunt. I am struggling. Every day is a struggle for me now.
You saw that a lot of people that we were associating with and just other people who were at the DNC, you were not the only one to bring that gift home. I will say that.
No, I was like feeling like a little tired. And then I was like looking at Instagram stories of every single person that we met there. And I was like, oh, that's a positive test. That's a positive test. Okay. Before we get into this week's episode, we want to remind you, you can support us on Hero Hero for just $5 a month, herohero.co/thegoodliars. It's in the description here, the link. And it helps us go to all these terrible places, including Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Is that right, DeVrom?
That's where you right. were? That's right. So Jason was laid up with COVID-19, and I thought, you know how I want to spend the next day, less than 24 hours, driving about 7 hours out there, sleeping a few hours, recording for a few hours, and then driving about 7 hours home. So Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
All right, but before we get into that, the 2024 election, it's heating up. We're past Labor Day now. It's on fire. We're literally in the home stretch now. It's fall. I can tell the sun is, it's setting. The shadows look different. The days are getting shorter and sadder and sadder and sadder. That means
you're a big
fall.
Weather guy. So
I'm a seasonal depression guy. I don't like when the sun, when the days get shorter. But let's talk about some of the things that happened this last weekend. Donald Trump, he did an interview with Fox News's Mark Levin.
Mark Levin?
I just looked up Levin.
Yeah.
That's how you say it. That's how it looks. But I looked up how to pronounce it. And somebody introduced him and said, Levin. But is it Levin?
I think they are incorrect.
Okay.
All Mark right. Levin.
Okay. Well, that would,
as
I guess that
11.
Makes sense. I thought it was, sounded like almost like Levine, like Avril Lavigne.
Well, that's a totally different spelling, as you
know
well,
it's a different spelling.
Having written many love letters to her in your younger days.
My ex, I guess.
Unofficial ex.
Unofficial. Well, she doesn't know who I am. Or maybe
your
she
Twitter.
She's
your Twitter.
Yes. Yes.
Your ex, your Twitter.
Oh, I see. That's very clever. Yeah. Very clever.
That's very
so
clever
the show is, so wait, say his last name again so I get this right.
Mark Levin.
Levin. Okay. So his show is Life, Liberty, and Levin, which also like is I guess there's the alliteration, which we talked about last week, but it sounds like a parody of a Fox News show.
Right. It also sounds like they're going hard at the alliteration without any substance there.
Yeah, Life, Liberty.
They were like, you know what? It's another
pursuit
L.
of happiness.
Is that enough?
Yeah,
you're right.
So here, this is Donald Trump. This is Donald Trump. He did a sit down interview to promote his new book, Save America, which I can't wait to get my hands on. And this is what he had to say.
What are you going to do with it once you get your hands on it? Sounds threatening.
Prop up
a table leg with it or whatever you got to do.
I mean, it's huge. It's a huge book. It looks almost like
I know, but your table
book.
Is like going to fall over. So
I know. Well, and also if you've watched the podcast, you notice that like my desk It used to be part of a big desk that I then made into a small desk, and it's missing some of the support, so sometimes it shakes. So I don't even know if this desk could handle this.
It's so crazy that my poll numbers go up. Whoever heard you get indicted for interfering with a presidential election where you have every right to do it?
So what do you think about that, DeVrom? Did he just say the quiet part loud?
Yeah, a couple of things strike me about it. He says you get indicted for an election you interfered with or something like that, which you have every right to. So he views, like, obviously, I mean, he breaks every rule of, you know, all the norms and all the laws alike. But if there were legitimate questions and you, like, went through the courts, I think that's what he's kind of saying. Like, I have every right to do that. But that's not what he's doing. He's just spreading misinformation, and it's working, by the way. People really believe this. But he's basically saying, people are saying I interfered, and I did because I had the right to.
Yes, yeah.
An admission?
I think it's like a little bit of a slip. Like, his whole point that he was trying to make is that I get indicted and my poll numbers go up. That usually doesn't happen. Can you believe it? But then he ends up saying, like, I interfered with an election.
With the presidential
election. I don't think that was his intent, but it is what he did, so...
He's also, like, breaking some new ground. Like, people get indicted, their poll numbers go down. It's like, no, nothing like this has ever happened. So it's not like like you look at the past and other people who said the election was stolen and were indicted for it, their poll numbers went down. He's breaking new ground is my point.
Right.
Whatever point he's trying to make.
Yeah, there hasn't been other reality show host presidents who got famous because of a racist lie they made about a president. Right. Yeah, so unprecedented times we're in right now. We don't really need any reminder of that right now. But the interview continued, and he had another, I thought, also telling moment in it, and this has been shared a lot on social media. But we might as well just beat it to death here and talk about it here.
But I agreed to all these things that I normally wouldn't agree to. Now they have Kamala, who they say has many deficiencies, but she's a nasty person. The way she treated Mike Pence was horrible. The way she treats people is horrible. But the way she treated Justice Kavanaugh during that hearing... In the history of Congress, nobody's been treated that way.
I like beer. I like beer. I forgot about that.
I drank beer with my friends. Sometimes I had too many beers. I liked beer. I still like beer.
You've probably had beers, Senator.
Hanging out and having some beers with friends, which I gladly do and which I fully embrace.
Let's look at Beach Week Ralph Club biggest contributor.
Tobin and Squee.
Yeah, I know. Guys for life, but obviously buried the lead here. The way she treated Mike Pence was just horrible. Like, if you think about the people who have treated Mike Pence the worst, Kamala Harris has to be at the top of the... Well, it's number. She's number one. She's number one. Probably his wife is number two because the whole mother thing, that really wasn't a good look. Although that was probably his choice to do. And then number three, I don't know. Maybe us. We've been mean to Mike Pence in the past,
been
too.
Rude, so
maybe,
I don't know. There must be someone else. I mean, I'm racking my brain here.
It's
Could
just
it be
wild.
The guy who, I mean, let's say what happened, just some facts. Donald Trump basically gathered a group of people and said Mike Pence should overturn the election and called him a coward, basically, and then sent them to where Mike Pence was.
He said the P word. He called him a P word.
Called him a P word, but I think he tweeted something along the lines of, like, if you had the backbone to do the right thing or something, and then sent that group of people to where Mike Pence was, and then they broke into Congress. So he was saying that Kamala Harris had treated Mike Pence badly. Anyone in Congress had ever treated the vice president so badly or something like that. I think sending a group of people in there, possibly who were chanting "Hang Mike Pence," into the building where Mike Pence was, into Congress, could be treating him worse in Congress. I mean, if you want to split hairs here,
I want to know if he misspoke. if he was like, I did not mean to say Mike Pence right now. I meant to say Kavanaugh, but I'm like, I can't. I just got to blow past it. It's just like wild that he would, Pence, who's also said he can't vote for Trump in good conscience and didn't go to the RNC. It's just wild. It's just wild that he's the leading candidate. I know we say this over and over again, but how can you do a January 6th and then almost be back in the presidency?
Appealing to people's fears, I guess, is the, it's more powerful than you could ever guess, is all I can say to that.
Yes. Well, the big news going into next week, we are less than a week away from the second presidential debate, which is wild. It's the second presidential debate, but it's the first one between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. I want to get your predictions on this, DeVram, but before we get into the predictions of the actual debate, I want to know, do you think it will even happen? Because in that same interview with Mark
Levin,
Donald Trump said this in the same interview, ABC is probably the worst in terms of fairness. George Flopadopoulos, the people they have are just, they're terrible. Jonathan Carl, end quote. So
can you clarify that? You've been talking about Trump struggling with the nicknames. Has he called him Flopadopoulos before?
I don't know.
And is it a good one?
Do you like it? Yeah, I was going to say, well, what's your...
It's fun, at least. I mean, I don't know what it means, but it's fun, at least, you know?
I think he's called him Little before. He's, like, made fun of his height before. Donald Trump wears lifts, right? Is that... Do we know that for sure?
I think that's fair to say. Speculate? The way that he kind of leans forward in that way. But also, I don't think you really think of Flopadopoulos being particularly short. He's always like seated and stuff. It just doesn't, it's not something people think about. You think about that a lot.
I think about that often.
Oh, I think about that a lot.
Yeah. Well, so DeVram, he's saying all this stuff after like saying he's agreed to it. Now he's kind of being like, you know, he's like always moving the goalposts. If I lose, it's only because it wasn't fair. If I lose,
it's ironic because
really
he could
lost.
Never play a sport that involves
golf,
goalposts.
Man. Okay, yeah. That's true. But so, number one, do you think the debate's going to happen?
I kind of think it will because Trump needs a reason to say that he's turned the tides, right? Doesn't he need a moment to point to try and stop what seems to be like this slow, steady surge from Kamala? So I kind of think it benefits him. Also, he's not burdened by like facts. He just needs to have a couple of moments that he can point to try and say that everything has changed. So I kind of think it's really hard to debate Trump. So I think he would want it to happen.
Okay.
And I don't think Kamala can really back out. I think people are criticizing her for not appearing, not having live appearances. I know she did the CNN interview, but I think she was with Tim Walz and people wanted to kind of not give her credit for that. So I kind of think that the debate, unfortunately, is just shaping up to be this big moment again, which it probably shouldn't have the outsized importance that it does. What do you think?
A couple thoughts here. I think he's going to go do the debate, but if he gets more and more nervous about it, he's going to say it's just unfair. This whole thing's unfair. There's going to be terrible questions.
Says that quote that you read is the worst in terms of fairness. So he's setting that up, as he always does.
Which is wild that it's like ABC, because ABC is not one that you would think is going to be like, oh, MSNBC is hosting a debate with Donald Trump. He could be like, this is the worst as far as fairness goes. And you could be like, okay, maybe. Or like Pod Save America is like, or the Good Liars are hosting a debate. He could be like, this is not going to be fair.
We're open to it, by the way.
Yes. We would even do the vice presidential. We don't want to like fuck up our negotiation tactic here. We'd even do that though. We just want to say that.
We'll flip a coin. We'll take either.
But I think he could, and this is me just saying this because you got to say it, because if you're right and it's one in a million, you just want to have it on record.
Wasn't that my good advice recently? Just make predictions.
I've been always taking your advice. Always. Yeah. That's why the words of wisdom are, I always ask for them because it helps me guide my life.
You're right.
But I think Donald Trump, he's going to go out there. If he's losing, you know, they do one commercial break during it. If he's losing, commercial break's going to happen, comes back up, he's gone. He's not on stage anymore. And then afterwards, he's going to be like, the debate was totally unfair. That's why I didn't show up at all. I never came. even though he'd been there for the first 30 minutes, he's just going to say, I was never there. That's not true. Don't believe it.
He's going to pull an illusion.
Yeah, or just like, you have to be fucking stupid to believe it. But yes, he's going to be like...
But that would kind of be the disappearing act that has happened over and over with Trump. You have to be pretty fucking stupid to believe it. Yes, that's happened. Yeah, and yeah. He's proven that he can get away with that. So
I wasn't even there, like folks. This. They say I was there. I wasn't there.
I wasn't there. They say I was there. They say I lost the debate, but I was never there.
I was never there. You can't even say it. And of course, I left. It was unfair. But I didn't leave because I was never there.
The illusion is all about the prestige, yes, as you know.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Devil's Triangle.
Drinking game.
How's it played?
Three glasses in a triangle.
And?
You ever played quarters?
No.
Okay. It's a quarters game. I like beer. I don't know if you do. Okay. Do you like beer, Senator, or not? What do you like to drink?
Next one.
Let's talk about from Harris's point of view. What do you expect to see from her, Vice President Harris, in this debate?
As I was saying, I think she has the tougher job, obviously. She has to respond to Donald Trump quickly and with force and with facts and seem like the reasonable one. I hadn't thought about this, and maybe it's just because I hadn't read enough about it. Maybe this is what people were saying. But when you cut the mics, the audience is not hearing that you are being interrupted. So you'd think it would be better. Oh, Trump can't talk over the responses. But the problem is she would be hearing him, but the audience wouldn't be. So you would be seeing this interrupted, you know, look on someone's face, which is not helpful if you're trying to look like you're on top of things, because you just wouldn't be hearing what the person would be hearing live. So it's good that they're not cutting the mics, because it just creates a strange back and forth. But I guess she has the tougher job, as anybody debates Trump does, because he's not burdened by like having to have intelligent responses, well-informed responses. He just has to like be himself. It's a cult of personality, so people are just want to see him be himself and be confident and look like he's, you know, in charge, as vague as that is. It just doesn't matter what he says. So I think she has a tough job, and then she'll get criticized for, you know, any moments that don't go her way.
What I would encourage everyone who's going to watch the debate to do is to, before the day before, or even like an hour and a half before, watch in its entirety the debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump from June.
Ugh.
Watch the entire thing. Ugh. Watch the entire thing.
Why would you give anybody advice?
Well, hear me out. This is a couple step process here. So you're going to watch it. Then you're going to, your expectations are going to be so low that you're going to see her go out there. You're going to see Harris go out there, and she's going to say sentences. She's going
to
have
from
thoughts,
start to finish.
She's not going to say that we're going to beat Medicare. So you're going to be like, she absolutely knocked it out of the park.
Now let me ask, who's going to be forced to watch this? Just anybody? People?
There's no forcing political persuasions. What is this?
Communist?
It's not communist. This is advice that I'm giving. I'm saying you watch the debate before. You're going to see her come out, and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, Kamala Harris is brilliant. She is a great debater. And also, you got to remember, like, people said this after the first debate, that Joe Biden gave the worst debate performance of all time. I think everybody agrees on that. But maybe the second worst was Donald Trump. So if she's out there and she's saying things to maybe get under his skin, I would say, do not say you're better at golf than Donald Trump.
That would be really funny if she was like, I think I'm a better golfer too.
And do you carry your own golf bag? No caddies, no golf carts. Remember that in the first debate?
Oh, it was so brutal.
That was the only time Joe Biden was like, you understood what he was saying, but you were like, why are you doing this right now?
I want to leapfrog back for a second, which you don't often do. I brought up the mic thing. I have a solution to it. They need to be in their own glass cases.
Like Get Smart?
On the same stage,
yeah,
but separated, so that the audience is hearing what they are hearing, so that there is no confusion. And then they should cut the mic so people can't talk over one another. But you can't be watching on TV and hearing different things than the candidates are hearing. So there is an easy solution.
Just do it by Zoom. Just do it. They should just be in like their like sweatpants.
Well, at that point, it's like Zoom. They could be in different rooms. Maybe you learn a little more about their lives.
The boy in the bubble.
I know, but then you throw cash in there.
And then
it becomes really fun.
Yes. Okay.
And to see who can grab the most cash, and maybe whoever grabs the most cash is the best next president.
ABC, they do a lot of game shows. I would love to just mix it up with game show.
You know what would be an incredible game show to put Donald Trump through? The Price is Right. Be like, how much is a box of detergent? And he'd be like, I don't know.
$500,000.
$86.
Yeah.
That would be great.
He's like, the horrible, no talent Drew Carey.
Yeah.
<It's> with propaganda his about dogs and cats getting fixed.
Have you ever seen such a long, thin microphone?
It's like, why? Why is it that thin? What's he hiding? So the Donald Trump, bum, bum, ba-dum, he'd be like, don't play that noise. I don't like that noise.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, what are the odds that he calls her the B word live on television?
Oh, boy. I love these hypotheticals. I think that's such a great one. It's the fact that it's a 5% chance is wild because I do think it exists. So that's a great question. I don't think it's 5%. Likely. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to Price is Right you. I'm going to say 6%. I'm going to just do a little bit above you.
So, and I love that. I think he is really swinging right now. He's trying to grab anything he can to kind of take the news back. I mean, some of the things he's truthing, he's really trying. So this is going to be his chance to do it face to face.
He's basically truth stuff that's worse than that.
That's worse, so right.
You're saying 5% on the B word?
Yeah.
5%. Okay, 5%. What about the C word? What about the C word?
Oh, geez. 0.1%.
0.1%.
It's not impossible, and that's why. And you know, I thought maybe we were going to talk about some of those truths.
1%.
Really?
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it now.
I had the same thought. Maybe you just don't give it, you know, the oxygen because it's just unpleasant and it's just like misogynistic stuff that he's putting out into the world to a huge audience. Like, why talk about it? But it's kind of the push and pull in the debate about talking about Trump in general. It's like he is the nominee of a major political party in an election that is 2 months away that is going to be decided by a couple of percentage points, if that. So it's hard not to talk about this stuff. But suffice it to say, he's just saying some of the worst, you know, most lowbrow stuff you can say. And he's sending it out to millions of followers.
Do you want to say what he said? He said something about a B and a J.
But who is in the truth with Kamala?
Former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton.
Right. And he said something about how it's surprising how big of a role that these BJs have played in both of their political careers. Is that what
I was saying B and J separately. Because BJ together, it
then you cross the line.
Then you've crossed the line, and you know I'm all about class.
We're really tiptoeing around this in a really classy way.
I just crossed
the line. But it's can you believe it? I mean, yes, it's just incredible.
We talked about this because you were at the rally. We talked about this on Dean's show that you were supposed to be on, but then you went to the rally. He asked about these tweets and the things that he said. And then I was talking about how we go to the rallies. And ever since 2020, since Harris was the VP nomination, there are those shirts that are like, vote no for Joe and the rhymes with Joe starts with H. And also like, what is it now? Like, say no. I don't know what it is. There's another shirt that says the same thing. So this is not like, it's like Donald Trump, I'm sure, sees this stuff at his rallies. He knows that this exists, this kind of misogyny going on.
Right.
And he's gone towards it. He's done it before. You know, I mean, he did it to Ted Cruz. He retweeted a thing calling Ted Cruz's wife ugly. Like he's got no class like we do. I'll tell you that. Right. We're being very classy.
I'll tell you that much. But there's something like, I feel like it's part of the Make America Great Again thing. It's like, what? Oh, yeah. I can say whatever I want. I remember we used to all make these kind of jokes. It's good. Like,
yeah,
you know, why are you complaining about it? Like, it's part of the allure for people who, like, I don't know, don't want to stop saying horrible shit.
Donald Trump truthed this, and it's like he tweeted this Substack about the article is about how Kamala Harris is like basically Soviet and she's a communist and all this.
I have a major issue with this image.
Okay, well, there's several issues with it.
But I have I don't know if it's being talked about.
Can you describe it for the audience?
It's Kamala with a big mustache, a communist Russian mustache, I guess. And a red hat.
I want you to say what you share. Totally classing it up now with our stereotypes of of Mario. And I do want to deeply apologize to the like cartoon video game character.
But it's supposed to be a Stalin mustache.
It's supposed to be, but she looks straight up. Well, it doesn't even look like her.
Right. Well, that's my problem with it. So basically, just to finish it up, and she's wearing a red hat that looks like exactly like Mario. So with in combination with the mustache, it's hard not to see that. Do you want to say your post? Just because I think it's important that we all are aware of what you know Mario accomplished.
And what's Mario's last name?
Basta.
This is so offensive. This is getting really offensive. This is the second thing you've done that I will cancel you for today. His last name is Mario.
Mario? What is Luigi's last name?
Mario. Really? His last name is Mario.
So anyway, this doesn't look anything like her. People are going to keep sharing AI images of her that are just don't look anything like her. And that, I think that's laziness. Put the prompts back in. Make another one if you're going to do this.
My last prediction for the debate is that Kamala Harris kills it. She does a great job. She's zinging him left and right. Maybe even makes a dig at his golf game. Then the last question, when it's like, well, share your view for America. And they give their little monologue that they've prepared. And it doesn't matter what the question is. They'll go into this monologue at the end. She says it. And then her voice, she coughs a little bit. She's like, then reveals, rips off a mask, it was Joe Biden the whole time.
Whoa.
It was Joe Biden the whole time. And then afterwards, he's like, I did that. I did that. I acted like her the whole time.
You thought I did that. Beat me. But I was tricking you.
Like Vince McMahon.
Right. And we all know what you're talking about.
It was me, Austin. It was me all along, Austin.
We all know what you're talking about.
Somebody does. Somebody with the same amount of wrestling belts that I have knows exactly what I'm talking about there.
It's me, Austin!
Oh, son of a bitch!
What? It's me, Austin! It was me all along, Austin!
Damn, I cannot believe it.
You all bought it, hook, line, and sinker. You all bought it. Even my immediate family bought it. Every damn one of you were made fools of.
What a sick thing. What a sick human being.
Let's talk about your trip, Devram. You mentioned you traveled 7 hours, 7.5 hours, 7.5.
Right. You're counting in a stop for a meal and some gas. Yeah, 7.5 hours.
7.5 hours to Johnstown, which I don't know anything about. And I like the small Appalachian towns, the foothills of Appalachia.
It was unbelievably beautiful. There were you drive up into these hills and there's just fog rolling through, clouds rolling through. Sunsets, you know, when I was arriving the night before was incredible. It was so beautiful.
Damn it.
You know, that pretty sucks. Isolated. Was able to go to a Texas Roadhouse on the way. really important to me that I make that stop whenever I can. So the fact that they had that in Altoona, which was kind of close by Johnstown.
Altoona, really?
Yeah.
Was it really? Altoona, which is the
like
same
Iowa.
As... like Iowa, yeah, yeah. Where
right.
we stayed.
And they have a little baseball team, a little stadium there. We saw the lights on. We had already missed
did
the
you
first
go?
Half of the game, so we did not go.
Just go and watch the... Who cares? So watch the second half. Who cares?
Well, that's what I told Peter, the guy who was filming, but he said, well, we've already missed too much of it. Okay, fine, whatever. Let's just get to Johnstown. So we get to Johnstown, and I have to say, just kind of a beautiful, small town. I didn't get a sense of the like population, the size of it. It felt really, really small. But I don't know, there's definitely a beauty to those hills there.
Definitely, definitely. So you got there at the Trump rally, you talked to some people. I know you pulled a couple of the clips. Do you want to set up any of these interviews that you have, or should we just play them and we can talk about it?
Yeah, let's just play this first interaction here, and we can talk about it.
The mass shootings are because why?
Because we have the Second Amendment that allows us to have guns. A lot of countries don't have the power to get guns as easily as we can, and that's the reason, because there's more
guns.
So
the mass shootings are because of?
More guns, more people. And if you have more guns, more people, more crazy people that have guns, stuff happens. I wouldn't blame the gun. You got to blame
But you're kind of, that's the reason for more gun control, is that more guns, more crazy people, more bad things happen.
I mean, when a crazy person with a gun comes in, how do you take them out? Another gun.
So your answer to the gun issue would be more guns, more people carrying guns.
Of course.
Right, of course.
That was wild.
So we've heard this logic before, but never immediately on the heels of just kind of admitting that the Second Amendment is the reason for all the mass shootings.
Yeah, yeah. It seemed like it was like kind of arguing both sides of it a little bit with that clip.
Yeah, which
it's
I
like, yeah,
hadn't
of course,
quite
the
heard
Second
before.
Amendment is like, we're going to go, we're doing, we have the mass shootings because everyone has the guns. But because everyone has the guns, you can have somebody to stop the mass shooters.
Right.
See what I mean?
See what I mean there? It works as long as you don't think about it too much. I don't know. It's a sad state of affairs that we keep having these
did
shootings.
You, I'm just wondering, because I wasn't there. I don't know. Did the conversation come about because her friend was wearing the big gun shirt?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think they were both big Second Amendment advocates. And so I think I asked which issues were important. And then that came up. But I think they both sure did love guns. And they were local, so I just think this was a Johnstown crowd, and they really love their right to bear arms. So
nice.
I don't know. I at least there was some honesty in the train of thought there. As unfortunate as it was, it's like, yeah, the fact that we are all entitled to own guns is probably why the shootings are happening.
But
we
you haven't
all at least
seen...
agree on that.
We saw like there was like a nod a couple times in the DNC in a couple of the speeches, and they obviously had a big, I think you had looked to get food at this point. We'd wrapped the interviews, and then they had all the survivors of the mass shootings and also like the people who had lost loved ones, and it was like gut-wrenching. It was literally
right.
One of the saddest things I've ever seen in person.
I know, I walked in and I was like, these burgers were $15 each. You're like, cool it.
Shut the fuck up, DeFrom. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And it was really, really sad. But also, I don't think we heard a lot about it from, it hasn't become a big campaign issue that I kind of like, you know, obviously something that is important to me and important to you, but it does not seem like it's a big issue for
It's surprising because the majority of people agree that there should be stricter gun laws. You would think it would be something to discuss and to seize on. But no, we just haven't been hearing about it. The other thing, we're speaking about the election in general. So this was an interaction I had about the election, the upcoming election.
Trump wins, will you accept the results?
Of course.
If Kamala wins, will you accept the results?
No. No, because it won't be possible. It'll be an absolute canard. nobody's really voting for
him. Yeah, but you got to, when you listen to yourself say that, that's got to be a red flag, right?
No, it's not. Listen to what the Democrats say.
If Donald Trump wins this election, will you accept the results?
Yes.
If Kamala Harris wins this election, will you accept the results?
No.
I mean, you got to hear what that sounds like, right?
I don't care what it sounds like, because if they say she wins the election, she didn't win it.
It's good to see him again. This is that's Vampire Teeth guy, right? Wine's not cheap.
That's right. He said, I think, before this interaction, he'd been to 86 Trump rallies or something. So he's a staple there. One of the few people we talked to that wasn't from the area. But I don't know. It's like an unabashed, complete distrust for any election that doesn't go their way. So it's just something to know. Just something to know. As we get into this election.
To be excited about going into it.
Yeah, just a thing to be excited about.
A lot of people. His demeanor, though, besides the... Was he wearing the vampire teeth? I couldn't tell from the video.
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know.
That was kind of... I liked that. I mean, it was at least part of his personality,
right,
or something. But he doesn't seem like the type of guy who's going to, like, stand back and stand by and go, like, storm a capital or something like that. He seems like he'd be upset about it. I'm like thinking about the election, knowing what happened in 2020 and in 2021. Like, I'm just trying to like mentally prepare, like, are there going to be these militias?
Right. He doesn't seem like a militia guy. Also, we passed each other later and he said, that was fun. Usually the interviews are so easy. It's nice to get some pushback or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
He
was excited.
He seems to really believe what he's saying, but he doesn't seem like the type that's going to do January 6th 2.0.
No, seems like the type that on St. Patrick's Day will be outside Trump Tower and we'll interview him.
You're saying that because he was? Yeah. All right, so here's one more interaction from the day, just to kind of round out the feeling of the day.
What do you feel about the people here protesting Donald Trump?
Well, I feel like everybody should have something to say, but this is a Trump rally. If you don't like it, don't come here to protest. Don't come if you're uneducated and you don't know what you're talking about.
You would rather they just didn't come here?
I would rather them not come here.
Are you a fan of the First Amendment?
Absolutely. You know, the right to bear arms. Look, this is...
That's not the First Amendment.
No, the Fourth Amendment, but I'm saying...
That's not the Fourth Amendment either.
There you have it. I should also say the protester she was referring to seemed very peaceful, almost incredibly relaxed.
Too peaceful? Too peaceful?
Like maybe they should have done... No, save for one moment when a guy was really screaming at them, and I think he was trying to get a reaction. He kind of did. They were just so well behaved, so it was interesting for this woman to say that they were that they shouldn't be there. She went on to say that they were spewing hatred or something like that, and it was like, man, these people just seem really relaxed, really calm.
Veterans against Trump. Those are the people that we talked to in North Carolina, I believe.
Yes, North Carolina at the very end. And she was screaming at that guy, asking him to prove he was in the military. It was just a strange dynamic there for some
Did he pull out a card?
Protest. He did for me, which I was not trying to get him to do. I said, is that a little strange to be having someone demand that you prove you're in the military? And then he pulled it out to show me. Yes, you know, he kind of said he didn't think that was very pro-troops to be demanding proof of being in the military.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he proved it to me, and I felt that sad that I had made
him
pull
this
the card out of
fake.
His wallet.
This is fake. I don't believe you.
Oh, yep. Yeah, you're spewing hatred here.
He's a good liar.
So incredibly truthful.
Bullshit.
Oh. You lied to me.
Wow, you guys are such good liars.
Just a couple of honest abes working it the fuck out.
Well, DeVron, let's have a moment of truth here. How would you rate the Trump rally out of 10?
I would say that this Trump rally was a 5 out of 10.
Wow.
The truth is that it was a beautiful town, an incredibly beautiful town. The night before, with the clouds kind of drifting through the hills, all the greenery, the people there generally in a good mood. generally happy, even though they were there to cheer on some pretty bad stuff. And of course, the most important thing, a Texas Roadhouse not 40 minutes away. So 5 out of 10 for the Trump rally in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
I got to ask the question here that I think a lot of the listeners are probably wondering to themselves right now. You said 40 minutes away was the Texas Roadhouse, 50 minutes away.
45, somewhere in between.
Did you drive out of the way to go to the Texas Roadhouse, and did that add to the 7.5 hours that you drove?
Maybe 10 minutes out of the way.
Okay, all right.
You don't have to drive through Altoona, but it's very much on the way.
Well, I mean, if you're going to go to Johnstown, you got to go to Altoona. All right, that does it for this episode of The Good Liars Tell the Truth. You can join us on Hero Hero for a special bonus episode. We're going to be showing some new videos there. And I'm going to talk about some things that I've got beef with right now, because there's a lot of people out there that are making me angry, and I'm going to get a lot of stuff off my chest, and I could get in trouble for it, but I'm going to do it because people deserve to know the truth. DeBrom, I have to ask you a question right now. Do you have any words of wisdom?
If you're going on a long road trip and you see a sign for a golf course, just get off the road. Go there and go to the driving range and hit a few balls. Even if you're terrible at it, like I am, and you don't know how to play golf, just do it, because you're going to have fun. You're going to get to stretch your legs. You're going to confuse the people at the golf course so much when you show up with no golf outfit, no clubs, and you try and go out on the driving range. You're going to be like, what? This never happens. And that's fun.
Okay, great advice, Jerome. Thank you so much for that. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Very specific advice. That does it for this episode of The Good Liars Tell the Truth. We'll see you next time.